All right, hello everybody, good afternoon. I've got a group of supporters here, clearly. I run the Microsoft Student Partner Program in Canada, and we've got a huge little group of my MSPs here. So everybody say hi to the MSPs if you get a chance. They're here for the Student Summit and doing an awesome job of representing young developers through the Microsoft story. But my name is Sage Franch, and I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft Canada. And I am so thrilled to be here today to share with you this project that I'm incredibly proud to have been a part of. And truly, I don't think that there's any better place to debut this project than here at Microsoft Build. Because, you know, one of the themes that I've been seeing so much here at this particular iteration of Build is the theme of inclusion and the theme of inclusive design and developing for impact. You know, yesterday we saw Project Emma, which is an incredible story that really shows the impact that technology can have in people's lives. And this project that we built here is very much in line with that same theme. So in February of this year, my team and I partnered with a not-for-profit organization in British Columbia called Via Sport. Now, Via Sport has been tasked by the Government of Canada to be the leading agency for amateur sport in BC and Western Canada. And Via Sport really serves the entire athletic community and the entire sporting community, but one of their mandates is to take away the barriers to participation, take away the barriers to entry for people who want to be a part of any type of sporting activity. So I'll just kick it over to the CEO of Via Sport, Sheila, to show you a bit about our project.
The purpose of Via Sport is to really champion positive changes so every British Columbian has an opportunity to thrive through sport. One of our approaches in terms of building an active British Columbia is to remove barriers and obstacles to participation. And so one big one is for people living with disabilities. And so that was the dilemma and the problem of how do we connect motivated coaches and officials and parents with information around sport and accessibility. And so we approached Microsoft and said, do you have any suggestions about how we do this in a user-centric, people-centric way?
So we thought that building a chatbot for Via Sport would be a great way to get these resources to athletes of all abilities in a much more streamlined way. One of the emerging technologies that Microsoft offers as of last year is the bot framework. And this is a way to easily build chatbots in a much more natural way.
We're a small nonprofit organization, and so we have to be really careful around how we use our resources. And so if we can use technology that is user-centric, easy to maintain and sustain, then we can focus on what we know best, which is the content and the people. And so this is one of the things that excites us about this technology is we don't need a technology department to sustain it. We just need to connect good technology with smart people.
Now, one of the incredible things about working with Via Sport was just what Sheila said there. They are a not-for-profit, so they don't have any developers on site. They have no in-house devs. So really, the entire team that built this project was the five developers and the one Paralympian, Elizabeth Walker-Young, who actually leads Via Sport's diversity and inclusion department. It was just the six of us hunkered down in a room in Microsoft Vancouver for 5 days to build this bot. But not only did we build a bot, we actually built the entire solution. So this is a look at what we built. The main thing that we'll be talking about today is the bot and the cognitive services component. But in addition to that, we also built an application using UWP that Via Sport can use to update their database without needing to hire an extra developer or actually touch the tables themselves at all. We also built a Power BI embedded solution and a reports dashboard, which takes out the telemetry from the bot and actually can give Via Sport some really rich insights to help them understand how they are serving their client base, but most importantly, how they're not. So finding the gaps, finding which questions the bot isn't able to answer, and actually being able to report that back to Via Sport so that they can then cross-reference against the resources they have and continue to amass really relevant targeted resources for the people who are actually using the bot. But let's go over to the bot and actually see it in action. All right, can we switch it over here? Am I going to have to go over there? Okay, I will do that then. Okay, so what we have here is the Accessibility Sport Hub. Now, this is currently in private preview as Via Sport workshops it with their trusted partners. So what they're doing is they're really testing this bot to find out those gaps that I mentioned in the resources and just make sure that everything's up and running before we go general next month. But let's take a look at what this bot can actually do. So let's pretend that I am a basketball coach, and I have just received a registration form for a student who wants to come into my basketball course who actually uses a wheelchair. Now, I have no previous experience teaching wheelchair basketball. Now, I could go to the web, but ViaSport has highly targeted resources that they've actually worked with partners to create. So instead, if I go to this ViaSport bot, I can actually ask the bot directly, how do I coach wheelchair basketball? Now, I can't even see that there, but let's see. Now, what this is going to use is Lewis, the language understanding API, to actually parse that query and determine what the user wants to do. So you can see it's built out the rest of the conversation here, and it's actually given me back two resources that pertain to teaching wheelchair basketball. So what it did here is it's gone out to Lewis, which I can show you in a minute, and it's actually determined which intent and what the different sport and disability is that we want to target for this question. So if anyone is not familiar with Lewis, it is our language understanding API, and the way it's structured out is through entities and intents. So entities are objects that you would use in a query. In our case, we're dealing with disability type, sport name, course topic, subject, which is who the resource is actually for. And you'll see in the code when I show you in a moment that right now we've actually implemented only three of these entities just for this initial run, but we're expanding it so that as ViaSport continues to expand out their database, they can more easily build in these added functionalities. Now, these entities are triggered from these intents that we have here. So we've got six set up. None is just the default that I'll talk about in a moment, but the three that we want to talk about today are find program, find resource, and how to coach. Those are the three different categories of resources that ViaSport came to us with, because the things that they find their clients asking for the most are coaching resources, program resources, so how might a participant be able to participate in a sport, and then just a general catch-all for other resources like gameplays and other things that you might find. Now, if we look into the code, the way this is actually triggered is as follows. Oh, I have to drag this one over too. All right. There we go. Can you all see that? Okay. Zoom it in a little bit. All right. Let's go 160. Better? Okay, so we can see right here, this is actually the none intent, which is what happens when Lewis doesn't recognize any of the other intents that we've set up. So this is just the default. And in that case, like any good bot, what we want to do is just say, I'm sorry, I didn't understand you. And the bot just goes through a regular loop back to the beginning of the dialogue. Alternately, if someone has said version, we don't have a separate entity for that, but we do a check if they're looking for the version of the bot. But let's take a look at some of these other intents. So we have hello and help, but we're going to look at how to coach and what exactly happened when I asked the bot, how do I coach wheelchair basketball? So what we're seeing here is the very, very first thing that we do is we take the score or the confidence rating that ViaSport has given back to us, and we check if it is acceptable or not. So because ViaSport wants to be very sure that they're giving accurate results to people and making sure that they actually do fill the query or fill the need that people are coming to the bot for, we want to make sure that even if Lewis gives us an intent, if it's not a high enough confidence ratio, we want to make sure that that just gets funneled back into the non-intent so that we keep our model very good and keep our bot conversation accurate. But if it is correct, which in the case of the demo that I just showed you it was, we actually go in and the very first thing we do then is load all the entities. So we use something called an entity recognition, which is, if I can hit the right thing. Oh, okay, I've gone too far. Let me see if I can get there. There we go. I should be wearing my glasses for this. We use an entity recommendation, which is an object that comes with the Lewis model, to actually pull out those entities from that query. So in our case, we're looking for these four: sport name, disability type, subject, and the city, if they've given us one. And in our case, with that one query, how do I coach wheelchair basketball, it recognizes the sport name as basketball and the disability type as wheelchair. Now, what we did is we actually created a mapping table to make sure that we're not adding multiple table lines for the same sport or disability. So you're not going to find separate entries for wheelchair, wheelchair user, person in a wheelchair. That all maps to the same thing. So we keep our database relatively small. Now from there, what happens next, if I can go back up, is we then go and we actually send this off to the telemetry. So we want to capture that we have successfully gone into the how to coach intent. And what this does is it tells ViaSport somebody's looking for a coaching resource for these entities. And then what we do is we go and we check the results. Now this is where the meat of everything happens. There we go, check results async. So what we first do in check results is we actually check to see if we're intending to check the database or the web. Now this was a very intentional decision on our part and the part of ViaSport because what we wanted to do was actually keep the entire experience within the bot. So we didn't want to have a user come to our bot, not find the answer they were looking for, and then have to go and do a web search themselves. That's just not a good experience for them. And should they want to come back to the bot, they shouldn't have to leave and then come back and find it all over again. So what we did was we decided to check to do a web search or not after we've checked the database. So by default, do web search is false, and that puts us into the second half of our else here. And what we do is we query the database looking for all of the entities that we've captured. Now, if we do find, or if we don't find any references, we say that we couldn't find anything. But if we do find references, there's one of two options here. We either return the references to the user, or we actually try and help them narrow it down. Because ViaSport is amassing a massive, massive database of resources here. And you wouldn't really want, even though it would be helpful, you wouldn't really want 145 wheelchair basketball resources to come up in your bot window, right? So what we do is we've set a maximum references count. And what we do is if it's below that, if it's between one and that max count, we return them to the user. Otherwise, we try and narrow it down. And I will show you what that looks like. OK, so let's go back over to the bot. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually trigger it to go into a web search. So I'm just going to say, I want to coach, which actually has no entities in it by default, right? So what it's going to ask me to do then is it's going to say, I have 25 coaching references, and I'd prefer to give you fewer. Can you help me narrow it down? And I'm going to ask it to give me resources for a sport I know it knows nothing about. So I'm going to ask it to give me resources for checkers, which is not even a sport, I don't think. If we have any checkers enthusiasts here, I'm sorry if I just offended you. So we can see it says, I don't have anything for that, but we're always adding to the database. I can do a web search for you. So now it's going to ask me for the disability. And I'm actually going to show you how we implemented a different cognitive services API right here. What we did was, early on in development, we discovered that whenever somebody input something that was spelled incorrectly, we would just simply say, oh, I don't have anything for that, even if we had a huge amount of resources for whatever they were looking for. So what we did was we implemented the Bing spell check API to actually check anything that the user inputs. So every time we get something from the user, we first send that off to the Bing spell check API, and we double check that it is spelled correctly, that those are real words. So in this case, I'll show you what this looks like. I'm going to say paraplegic, and I'll spell it with two E's, which is not spelled correctly. So what it does is it prompts the user to actually be able to give them feedback and say yes or no, that's what I meant. Now if I said no, it would just say, okay, I don't understand what you're looking for, let's start again. But if I can say yes, then it continues with that correctly spelled entity, and it stores that when we're storing all the entities. So now the last thing that it's going to ask me is to fill out this third entity here, which is the subject or the participant in this case. So I'll just add that. And then we can see it's going to take all of that information and send that out to a web search. So these resources that it's just spat back to me are not from the ViaSport database. They're from the web. And if I was to click on one of these, it would take me directly to that web page. So what this does is it keeps the user experience entirely within the bot, and it makes sure that should they want to ask another question, they're still right there to do so. But I'll show you what this looks like in the code. So if I go to doing the web search, whoops, What we're actually going to do here is look at the on web search and how we build that query. So by default, we set some default information so that if the user has actually skipped all of those prompts and hasn't given us anything, we still look for something that's relevant. So you can see that the default intent here is coaching. The default sport is sports, default subject is people, and default disability is just with disabilities. So when we build out this query right down here, what happens is if it's just the default, it'll say search the web for coaching sports people with disabilities. So that automatically gives you something that's a little bit more relevant than people might go and search themselves if they have no idea where they want to start. But if we do know the entities, then we substitute that default for whatever we have stored, and then that's how we get these richer results back. All right, now I'm going to go back into the bot, and I want to share with you one more key piece of information here, or key component that we built into this bot. So inclusion and diversity is not just about making the resources available and letting them sit there so that people can find them. It's actually also about promoting an improved culture in this entire community and doing our best to proactively change the language when possible. Because one of the big issues when dealing with people living with disabilities is that other people don't know the correct terminology, and they might be using outdated or even offensive terms without even knowing it in many cases. So one of the subtle things that we worked with VSport to do is create a database, again, a table that maps these offensive and outdated terms to the correct terms so that we can actually, when talking to the bot, subtly replace them so that we inform the people who are using the bot when they've used something incorrect and what the correct term is. So I'll show you what that looks like. If I am to go to the bot and say, I want to find resources for swimming. Now it's going to prompt me because I've given it my intent and my sport, and now it's going to ask me for the disability. So I'm going to input the blind. Now, many of you might not actually know that this is not a correct term to use, but when we're dealing with talking about disability, it's important to use person-first terminology and never refer to somebody as their disability or their impairment, but to refer to them as a person first. So if I type in the blind, our bot will actually say, looking for resources specific to people who are blind or visually impaired. So we can see it's replaced it to the person first terminology. And one of the amazing things that Elizabeth from VSport did over those 5 days with us was she worked really hard to create this table and to make sure we had a very extensive set of terms that can be corrected here. All right, so that is the VSport bot. And before I close here, I'd like to first invite you to stay in the loop, but also thank the team members that made this absolutely possible. We actually have two of them here today. We have Mark Schramm of Fusionware, who actually brought us the opportunity through his relationship with VSport. And we have Yash Manivanan over there, who I believe is live streaming this, who is our co-op for the technical evangelism team in Microsoft Canada. So these two were there with us during that project day. And we also have Sergey Benachny and Natasha Rashid, who is actually doing our other Cloud for Good hackathon right now in the hotel across the street. So please stay in the loop with this project. You can find the entire, I think it's 40-page technical report that we created at aka.ms/vsport, and follow the Cloud for Good campaign on social to stay in. All right, feel free to come up and ask us some questions if you want, and thank you so much for being a part of this diversity and inclusion movement.